Thank you. Good evening. Darlene and I are having a wonderful time here with you. We love this district. We love your superintendent so much. I have begged Brother Newbern for a church in Oklahoma. Never takes my phone calls, never answers my mail. Secretary always says, "Who's calling?" and just hangs up. No, that's not really true. Kind of true, but not really true. We just don't have any dearer friends anywhere, and we love them very much. When I grow up, I want to be just like Armin Newbern. Boy, I enjoyed your music. That's just your music this week. Everything's just been so wonderful. Phil, thank you for the start. You chickened out, didn't you? Started to play Chariots of Fire. Well, I just think since you broke the ice and did that, I'm going to go ahead and sing a little song here. I like big bands. You have to explain that to today's kids. They think that's six guitars, you know? But I grew up with big bands when I was a kid, and I loved them very much. In fact, the fellow who played drums in our church for a long time down in Fort Myers used to play drums for Woody Herman in the Third Herd, and he'd move it out pretty good for us. We could sing the whole hymnal in 98 seconds. You know, Satan is such a thief. He's a thief, he's a thief, he's a thief. Makes me mad, he's a thief. And some of the most beautiful melodies in the world don't have gospel lyrics to it. I think that's terrible. So I've rewritten a lot of them, and and I'm going to sing one for you right now. This is just such an incredible melody, and the lyrics that go with it are so awful and mean nothing. So I heard this song in a restaurant out on the East Coast a couple years ago, and it came over the intercom, and I thought, boy, what a great song. And I grabbed a napkin, and I changed the lyrics, and I got a hold of the guy's track who sings this song, and this is just a nice little hymn. I hope you'll like it. I love a big screaming band, I'll tell you. I have a recurring nightmare. We're all going to be in heaven. We know there's at least 100 million angels, 100 million angels who are going to be singing. All of us are going to be singing all the redeemed down through the ages with voices that probably have about a 50-octave range. Phil Driscoll told me one time he really believes that music not only has sound, but it has color. But we cannot see it with physical eyes, but in heaven we'll be able to see the music as well as hear it. Think of that. All of heaven's band is going to be playing. The Bible says our ears have never heard. Well, the night that Belshazzar was killed in Babylon, we know that he had 3,200 just in his trumpet section in his big bash that night. Think of 3,200 trumpets. Our ears have never heard the things. It's just going to be this crescendo of music. And my nightmare is the guy who's in the third row who'll stand and say, could you turn it down? I'm with you folks. I enjoy being a Christian. I really do. Thank God for the joy, that developed fruit of the Spirit, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. All those videotapes were taken this morning, but if you still want one of them, I'll send you one. As soon as I get home on Friday, I'll send you back a copy. There are three of them, the Israel video I did last year, 2 hours and 1 minute of 37 places in Israel. It's my home. I love Israel. And then there's the sermon I preached at Orlando Christian Center on, I think I preached it maybe at your district council a few years ago, on Peter and Paul at the judgment seat of Christ, and Paul and Silas at the judgment seat of Christ. It's there. And then the interview with Leonard Ravenhill, which every preacher ought to see. So they're all gone, I think. Don't think there are any of them left. But if you'd like to have a copy, leave a check back there and I'll mail them out to you. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Right after the resurrection, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's not really happy with them. He upbraided them, verse 14 says, he upbraided them because of their unbelief and the hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye, for you writers, that's in the imperative tense, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall, what's the verb? Say it again. These signs, the supernatural, the miracles, the divine interaction will, it never precedes. Never precedes. It always follows. These signs shall follow. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name shall they cast out devils. And this is becoming a major ministry in the United States of America. Our country's rapidly becoming demonic. The church better have some power, or the world will just run right over you. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, not on purpose. If they drink any deadly thing, not on purpose, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and some of them will recover. Excuse me. They shall recover. Now turn over with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, the disciples asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. I am Pentecostal to the hilt. I'm Assemblies of God to the bone. I believe the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking with new tongues. But I also believe what Jesus said, ye shall receive power. A Pentecostal believer is a powerful believer. Pentecostal church is a powerful church. It's an incredible church. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. Chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Last Friday night, I was preaching down in Miami, Florida, and I related to this text in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I was preaching to Assemblies of God people, purely, totally. I said, how many of you know what the day of Pentecost was? I said, what? It's the day all this happened. Yeah, but what was the day of Pentecost? This isn't the first one the Jews ever had, you know. They'd had 1,500 of these annual days going way, way on back. Came 50 days after Passover. What was it? Somebody said, well, I believe it's the time that they celebrated leaving Egypt. I said, no, that's Passover. This is 50 days later. What is Pentecost? I'm talking to Assemblies of God people. What is Pentecost? Well, it must be a wonderful thing. It is. What is it? It's harvest. Pentecost was harvest, when the day of Pentecost, when the day of celebration for the harvest was fully come.
God sovereignly chose this particular celebration of the harvest to pour out the Holy Ghost. Why? Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power and ye shall be my witnesses. Everything about Pentecost has to do with harvesting. Pentecostals are harvesters. I harp on this all the time in our church. I'm Johnny One Note on it. We are harvesters. And one of the board members came to me one night and he said, Pastor, let's change the name of our church. Well, it's First Assembly of God. And I said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. I really like the name First Assembly of God because that's what we are. Well, he said, I think there's a name that would suit us better. I said, what? He said, let's change our name to International Harvesters. Pretty good. That's what we are. If we wouldn't be in court all the time in a suit, I think it'd be a great name. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, you'll be my harvesters, because you're Pentecostal, which is what Pentecostal means. You'll be my harvesters all over the world. International harvesters. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Didn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. It said it sounded like one. It filled all the house where they were. Where they were. Just kind of sticks in our throat, doesn't it? Sitting. You mean they weren't standing? They were
sitting.
Isn't that just kind of wonderful? Doesn't that just kind of bless your heart? They were sitting. Every time I hear a song leader say, we can't sing this song sitting down, I want to say, watch. Older I get, boy, my favorite verse becomes, and Jesus made them to sit down. No big point here. I just get blessed saying it. Filled all the house where they were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 14. Now there are 120 in the upper room there on Mount Zion. By the time Peter gets done with his sermon, 3,000 people are saved. Obviously, they didn't all crowd into the upper room. As 10,000 Pentecostals are going to try to do this fall at the World Pentecostal Conference. And we'll see how spiritual they really are. But I believe, and a lot of writers believe, that they moved out and they were on their way to the temple. And by the time they got to those massive steps on the south end of the temple, which have all just recently been excavated, they're incredible. That by now, here come these 120 people shouting, praising God, speaking in tongues, worshiping the Lord, and a great crowd gathered saying, what in the world are these people? And Peter, standing up right there, I believe, at that southern wall, said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as ye suppose. It's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, one of your own, one of your own out there, you Hebrews. This is what he said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon quite a bit of people. No, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, this anointed, forth-telling, declaring of the gospel. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men will say, oh, I've never done it that way before. Not Pentecostal old men. I don't know his name, Brother Newburn, but this morning some dear man came up to me here.
Brother Davis, 92 years of age, tears in his eyes, and he said, God's not done with me. Man, that just kind of, that's why I didn't play great today. I just got to thinking about that dear brother.
That is so refreshing, because all the time in my travels, I have younger pastors come up to me in their 40s. Boy, I get to retire in 17 years. You ever been to Maranatha? Not me, Jack. I'm going out and stand on a railroad track first. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Go over to chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders. Isn't that what Jesus said? These signs, these wonders will follow those who declare the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord there in Solomon's porch, that beautiful white colonnaded perimeter of the great temple there on the Temple Mount. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. Anyone who opposed what was going on, nobody dared join them. Because what was happening in the Spirit was so powerful, people were afraid to stand against it. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Multitudes. Say it. You can have three or four saved in a meeting today and get it written up in the evangel. Multitudes. Say it again.
Multitudes,
multitudes of people were saved. Don't you know there were some folks in that early church who said, you know, Maud, I don't believe I know all these people's names anymore. You know, Peter, we just kind of liked it better when we knew everybody's name. So what Jesus said, you know, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and it'll help you know everybody's name.
Multitudes!
Multitudes came to the Lord, men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, whether he ever prayed for them or touched them or anointed them, but even the shadow of Peter passing by, man, you can just feel faith starting to build, might overpass them, overshadow some of them. Verse 16, there came a multitude out of Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, demon possessed. And they were healed, every one. Everyone. Did you ever hear of a man named H.C. Morrison? Great Methodist in earlier generations. One of the great founders of Asbury doctrine in this country. Wonderful believer, great believer. He grew up on a farm, very poor farm. One day he came into town on some business for his dad, and he saw a big multicolored sign on the edge of a barn said the circus was coming to town. Had pictures of clowns and elephants and tigers and acrobats. And H.C. said, I never saw anything like that in my life. 25 cents to get in. So he said, I ran home as fast as I could, and I said, Dad, circus is coming to town. It's only 25 cents to get in. I really want to see it. I've never seen things like this before in my whole life. I'd like to go. Can I go? 25 cents. His dad said, you can go if you can get the 25 cents. I don't have the quarter to give you, son. But anything you can do to earn it legitimately, you have my blessing. H.C. said, boy, I set out every day. I'd do all the chores for Dad. I'd get my homework done. Then I'd go to nearby farms. Can I mow hay? Can I feed cattle? Can I milk the cows? Can I do something? Can I help here? And he said, over a number of weeks, he earned a quarter. Things have changed, haven't they? I had the quarter. He said, I could not wait. The night before the circus came to town, I did not sleep. And as the sun was rising, I went out and got on my old bicycle and I pedaled down that old dirt road as fast as I could. And already great crowds of people had filled that town because they had never seen a circus either. And way down the railroad track, we saw the black smoke. Here came the great circus train. Everybody was so excited, and we watched the train pull into the depot, and the screeching of the brakes and the sss of steam, and big side doors on boxcars started to open up, and out came elephants. Elephants! In our town, elephants! Out came cages full of tigers and lions, who were not working with our superintendent at the time. Out came clowns, out came acrobats, out came a band, da-da-da-da-da. It was terrific. He said the townspeople lined up on both sides of the street. Here came the band down the road. It was great, and behind them came the elephants, and here came the great prancing horses going through all of their gates, and here came the clowns. Man, they were funny. We're doubled over with laughter. It was terrific. Here came all the acrobats and all the color and all the splendor. It was terrific. Man, my blood was pounding, and I watched them all disappear way down at the end of the road into an old tent down there, and they were gone. And I thought, oh man, I'm so glad I earned the quarter. I haven't paid my quarter. I stopped a man on the street and I said, who takes the quarter? He said, I do. And I went home. I told my dad, oh, it was great. Years went by before it ever dawned on me, I had never been to the circus at all. I'd only been to a parade. For the past year, I've been reading through the book of Acts every week. Do it. Try it. This is the pattern book. This is the guidebook. This is to be the norm of Pentecostal behavior. This is not an outlandish book, a one-time thing. This is to be the norm. There is no finish to the 28th chapter because you and I are living in the unfinished 28th chapter. I read this book through every week, and it hits me again and again as I see normal church behavior and all the things that we think are so terribly important and so exciting and so wonderful. And I read this book of Acts and it hits me, dear God, I've never seen the main event in my life. I've only seen a parade. And I'm really tired of the parade. I want to go inside the tent. I want to see a move of God like I've never seen in all of my life. We get so upset about the Supreme Court. I mean, we want to march on Washington with our little placards. Did you ever stop to think what would happen in public schools if there was a tremendous move of God and the Holy Spirit began to do what Jesus said, blow wherever he wants to blow, making his way in and out of classrooms, up and down hallways? Who's going to stop it? Nine little people with a robe? Nothing can stop the Holy Ghost. Nothing. Nothing. I read about revivals where men and women walking downtown far away from the church in years gone by would suddenly become so overcome with Holy Spirit conviction. They would fall on their faces right on the street. Oh, God, have mercy on my soul. Be saved and receive the baptism right there at 4th and Vine or wherever they were. This is the sovereign move of God. And I'm so hungry for it. And not only Pentecostals are hungry for it, but just about everybody I come across has had it up to here with religion. They want to see God move. I've been preaching every summer out at Ocean Grove in New Jersey. That's a great United Methodist Bible conference. I'm the only Pentecostal they've ever let on the grounds. This is where Fanny Crosby used to live. Great place. Massive auditorium, seats about 7,000 people. Folks come from all over the United States for the whole summer. They don't all stay all summer, but for about 13 weeks they come. And last summer, I was scheduled to speak on a Sunday. The Sunday before, Tony Campolo had been there, and the Sunday after, it was Dr. Kennedy from the Great Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. So they got this little Pentecostal guy right in the middle. Now, I'm telling you, people, this is high church. This is high church. They have about 70 in the choir, and they're all trained voices. The lead singer in every section is a regular at the Metropolitan Opera. So when they sing something like Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, it's leaning on, I'm leaning on. It's great. They have the third largest pipe organ in North America there, and the guy who plays it can make it dance. He is incredible. And the ushers are all outfitted with the sharpest little sports outfits you've ever seen in your life, and they take up the offering doing this little ritual that they do. It is incredible. And you walk in and they give you a menu, you know, they give you the outline of the whole day. And on one asterisk you stand, on two you sit down, on three you may breathe. You know, they do the Gloria Patri, they do the Apostles' Creed. This is high church. So it's just last August and I'm going to preach to them, morning and in the evening. So I've got a nice little sermonette prepared for them, won't upset anybody too bad. Because after all, you know, for a little Assembly of God guy to get in there, you don't want to shake up the boat. So I've got this innocuous little sermon. But before I'm to speak, the choir stands and sings Schubert's The Omnipotence. Have you ever heard The Omnipotence? That huge pipe organ takes off and it made the whole platform rumble. Places packed out there, and the choir stands up and they start to sing about the omnipotence of God. God spoke, the sky rumbled. That whole pipe organ just rumbling. Man, it's just shaking the place. How wonderful he's one. It was great. And it moved my spirit, and I started to cry. I've been crying a lot the last year. And I start to cry, and I thought, I didn't raise my hands because I didn't want to get thrown out of there, but I thought, oh, God, you are omnipotent. You are an awesome God. And God spoke to my heart and said, if I'm so awesome, why are you preaching that dinky sermon to these people? Tore me up, boy. So I grabbed my Bible. And I walked up to the platform, and I said, take your Bibles. Most of them had Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to the 5th chapter of Acts. I'm going to preach to you this morning on Jesus Christ, the great physician. And you who are sick in your bodies, I'm going to pray for you at the end of this meeting, and Jesus is going to heal your body. And I started to read, by the hands of the apostles. It's what it says. We're not making this up, are we? Isn't that what it says? By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they brought multitudes, and they were sick with various diseases, and some were devil-possessed, and they were healed, every one. And I only preached about 20 minutes that morning. And I said, now, I'm going to do something I've never done in my whole life, and I never had up until that time. I said, I'm going to have a healing line. I could hear the old bishop sitting behind me. Going to have a healing line. I'm going to walk right down here in front. And I turned to the organist and I said, you know something like where the healing water flows? And boy, he did. And those people started to sing. Man, they were anointed. They were anointed. People are so desperate for God, they'll do anything. They started to sing where the healing waters flow. It was wonderful. Just appealed to everything inside me. And I just walked down the front. I didn't even have any oil.
Tend to run my fingers through my hair.
I thought, man, if there'd be 15 or 20 out of these thousands of people, wouldn't that be something?
I could not believe my eyes. I watched people stand by the hundreds. I prayed for people one-on-one from 11:30 until 1 o'clock in that tabernacle. A lady came down. She said, Mr. Betzer, she said, I have a massive cancerous tumor on the back of my leg. And if I'm going to live, this leg has to be amputated. Do you think Jesus could heal me? You notice that line that Jesus gave the disciples, this comes out by fasting and prayer. Well, you know, you got to look at that pretty hard, because Jesus had already given the disciples the authority to do that. So where does the fasting and prayer come in? If Jesus had already given them the authority, the fasting and prayer triggers something in you. You're not just going through a ceremony. You really believe it's going to happen. And I prayed for that lady. I said, oh God, take that cancer away from her. Thank you. Thank you. And she turned around and she was about 20 feet down the aisle. And she grabbed the back of her leg. And she let out a scream you could hear all over that tabernacle. It's gone! It's gone! The cancer's gone! We had us a meeting, boy. We had us a meeting. Hallelujah. Where the healing waters flow. Where the joys celestial glow. There's peace and there's rest and there's love. Where the healing waters flow. Let's just stand. Let's turn this place into a Pentecostal prayer meeting tonight. Come on. We've heard enough preaching. Let's just begin to bombard heaven tonight. Let's begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Come on, people. Really praise Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Move upon your people tonight. Make us Pentecostal people, harvesting people tonight. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Begin to pray to Him in the Spirit tonight. Spirit of God, Spirit of God. All it is. Oh, make us believers, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we are in the book of Acts. It's not history. We are in the book of Acts. This is for your children, said Joel, and their children, and their children, and their children afar off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Move over this crowd tonight, Spirit of God. Lift our faith tonight. Lift our faith to believe You, Jesus. Lift our faith to believe You, O God. My faith looks up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary. Oh God, we want the main event, not the parade. Hallelujah.
on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Is it possible that in this room tonight there's anyone who's never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Hold your hand up if you've never experienced. Is that possible in this room tonight? Anyone who's never experienced it, just slip up your hand. Because right where you're standing, you can be baptized at this very instant. This very instant. It's the gift of Jesus to you. It's His gift to you. You can receive it. Hallelujah. 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 Rita Bosandoro Cotoreandoro Casatari. Landoro Boriandoro Cassidi Biandoro Rattoro Bosatara Caniandai. Spirit of God, move on us tonight sovereignly. Like a mighty rushing wind, Spirit of God. We are all with one accord in this place tonight. Spirit of the living God, Ritandoro Bosita da Randoro Kosatai. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask every pastor in this place tonight, might be three, might be 30, I don't know. It's a toughie. Listen carefully. This is not an easy one. I can tell you this is not an easy one. Every pastor in this room who will say to God, there is no price I will not pay. There is no path to which you call me that I will not follow. I am willing to do what I have never done before if you call me to do it. I need faith tonight, Lord. I'm not going to operate from the principle of fear any longer. I'm not going to operate out of fear that I might fail or somebody might not like it. But I'm going to operate an absolute trusting faith in you, God, because we must have a breakthrough in our city. Must have it. And I'll do anything you ask of me, Holy Ghost. That's not easy. What I'm saying to you tonight is not trite. It's not a cliche. This could cost you dearly. But if you're willing to make that kind of a commitment, I want you to step out and come forward. Let's fill as much of this area as we need tonight. Don't come unless God's telling you to come. Don't make this a cheap altar call. Don't come unless God is telling you to come. You will do anything God calls you to do. There is no price you would not pay. Nothing you would not forfeit. Pastors, begin to really pray. Tell God, tell God, tell God, tell God. Tell God about it tonight. Tell Him what's on your heart tonight. There is nothing I would not do, God. I'm willing to be bent. I'm willing to be stretched. I'm willing to do anything you ask me to do, God. I'm going to get out of a comfort zone. I'll do anything you ask, oh God. There is nothing you cannot ask of me. Oh, Rata Rasita Rabarando Roku Satay. Bombard heaven with this, pastors. Bombard heaven with this. You are pleading for the life of your city. You are pleading for the life of your people. Jesus. Jesus. O Lamb of God, stretch me, O God. Stretch me, O God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You have called me, you have redeemed me. Fill me with your spirit. Nothing I will not do, O God. No price I will not pay. Oh, Lamb of God, 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 Lamb of God. Oh, Lady Bianda, I need your supernatural touch, oh God. I can't take church as usual anymore, oh God. Let your power flow through me, Jesus. Let it flow through our church. Let it flow into our dying city, oh God.
But in the Holy Spirit pierced my heart and said, Dan, you've come a long ways in the last few several years, the last few months, but Dan, you grieved me so many times and you quenched me so many times, and even though you didn't mean to, you really hurt me. And I want you to tell your people you did it. Trying to maintain some position, some order, some whatever. I know I've grieved the Holy Spirit. And it goes through me like a knife this morning. And I ask all of you people to forgive me. I won't do it again. As God helps me, I won't do it again. We sing, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place, but that doesn't really cover it. It's Holy Spirit, thou art desperately needed in this place. And the people began to weep. There were healings, incredible healings. It's turned the whole place around. And I say to you tonight, I've preached on revival time for 17 years. If I ever said anything that grieved the Holy Ghost, please forgive me.
I would not grieve him for the world. He is my best friend. I want him to be so welcome. I want to be so responsive to whatever he asks, whatever he wants to do. And he's so willing to do it. But we pastors can put a stop to it so often. A year ago, I stopped using an agenda in our services. I've done it all my life. I'm an old radio guy, you know. At 10:45, we start Sunday morning worship. We sing till 5 to 11, prayers from 5 to 11 to 11, choirs from 11 to 11:04. Announcements are from 11:04 to 11:08. The offering will be from 11:08 to 11:12. And don't even give the Holy Ghost a chance. And I study just as hard. I study awfully hard for Sundays. I don't walk into the pulpit unprepared ever. Ever. We don't permit any singer to walk onto the platform who's not thoroughly been rehearsed, worked through. It's God's work. So we work hard at it. But we just don't have an agenda anymore. Several Sunday mornings ago, we walked out on the platform and the opening song was so strong. Such a spirit of God in this place that within a few moments I was giving an altar call. 40-some people came to the altar to give Christ their lives. I preached later on. We had a worship service after that, and the last thing we did for the day was take up the offering. It was an incredible offering. I don't have any agenda of my own anymore. And when you tell God you're absolutely in his hands, you better hang on, because he believes you're serious about it. And he'll shake you up pretty good. My whole life is being shaken from top to bottom. And I'm having a wonderful time. I feel like I've been saved for years and years and years and years and years, but I just feel like I just got saved, you know? I feel like I just got the baptism. I feel like a new kid. It's wonderful. I just love it. And over again, the people in the church come up and hug my neck and say, oh, we sure like our new pastor. The old one was okay, but we sure like the new one. Why don't you let God run your church? Just stand back. Hang on to something. Tell God whatever's on your heart right now. Just do it. Would you? Whatever's on your heart, do it.
I've cried for several months. I know what you're talking about. Some other things I want to talk to you about when we get through. About 2.5 months ago, I started having a dream, and I had it over and over. And in the dream, I was in my church, and I would go to pray for my people. And the Holy Spirit would stop me. And he would say, you cannot impart what you do not have. And I would fall on my knees, and I would weep, and there I would wake up. And it kept over and over. And something within me began to stir. And I knew that there had to be a place and a time where somebody, somewhere, would impart what I had to have. And I had to be where God was going to meet in order for that impartation to take place. And the Lord opened some doors and some things happened. And I went to where God was waiting on me. And I was ministered to. And when I came home, the parade stopped and the circus started. I know what you're talking about. Services from 6 till midnight with them carrying people home drunk. I know what he's talking about. But the thing the Holy Spirit kept quickening to me tonight, Pastor, you want to see a move of God in your church, but you don't want it to start with you. You don't want to be the one that's drunk in the Spirit. You don't want to be the one that shakes and stands there and trembles at the presence of God. You don't want to be the one that breaks out laughing. You don't want to be the one that just sits in a corner weeping for hours before God. Let it hit the rest of the church while I remain dignified. But you cannot impart what you do not have. And I sense that in this place, the Holy Spirit has come and He wants to impart upon some people that you will receive what you have to have for your people. If you receive it, if you receive it.